If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday? On Wednesday,
it's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
And then you got to turn the page real quick.
We just haven't been able to like turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
A Monday night game extends everything, so we didn't get a chance to really turn the page. And you also had the fallout from the Cubs thing that we were trying to get through as well. So a little late on turning the page, but now we have done it, Matt Spiegel. We have turned the page away from Washington and forward to the New Orleans Saints.
The 1-5 New Orleans Saints, now coached by Kellen Moore, former NFL quarterback. Then a longtime Cowboys coach, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, a Chargers offensive coordinator for a year with Justin Herbert, and the Eagles offensive coordinator last year. Kellen Moore has this Saints team not producing a lot, but being coordinated well, according to sources. But look, they're 28th in points. They're 24th in yards. They're 22nd in passing. They're 19th in rushing. Lawrence, they're averaging 4.8 yards per play. That's 27th in the NFL. So, look, things are not going super well in terms of results, but Kellen Moore knows what the hell he's doing. Here's what he had to say about facing the Bears defense.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Place is going to be a little bit different just because, you know, you're going to have a foundation from a systematic approach, and then you're going to, you know, evaluate your roster and kind of make the adjustments necessary. I think, you know, the biggest thing is their defense is playing fast, physical. They're playing obviously with a lot of confidence. The turnover thing is real. Seems like, you know, every year there's a couple of these teams that just, you know, they're making them happen each and every week. And so certainly they're on that trend line. They're doing a great job of attacking the football. They had three this past game. You can argue they had three more opportunities that they could have gotten as well. And so, you know, they're playing a very confident brand of football on that side of the football right now.
The Saints have only lost four turnovers all year long, one interception and three fumbles. But he says the turnover thing is real for Dennis Allen.
It is. I mean, we got confirmation of that it's real. It's something that they're able to do, whether it's simulated pressure or actual pressure that they're using. Guys are looking to make plays on the ball, and they're in the right spots to come up with the fumble recoveries or the interceptions, even if it is a late throw by Jaden Daniels. You still got to be there and make the play, and Jaquan Brisker did that in this past game.
Former Saints head coach and longtime defensive coordinator, now Bears defensive coordinator Dez Allen, says it's just another game this week.
I spent 15 out of my 24 years in the league at that place, so obviously I got a lot of fond memories of being there. And yet, it's another game, and that's where our focus is this week. And I think we got a good opponent. I think this is a team that, as you watch the tape, they continue to get better. They've got a lot of skill position players that I think are you know, really explosive, receivers, tight end, runners. You know, all those guys are good players. I think, you know, offensive line wise, you know, in particular, you know, the right side of the offensive line, Fuaga, you know, Eric McCoy in there at center, Cesar Ruiz at the right guard, first round pick at left tackle, you know, moving Trevor Penning inside the guard, you know, another first round pick. So I think this is a team that's continued to improve in every single one of their games. They've been in every single one of them. So we got a challenge this week.
So, Lawrence, we mentioned it. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Juwan Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Alvin Kamara. They've got a kid, Kendra Miller, who's getting a role as a running back, too, and Spencer Rattler. There's some names that people know, some productive NFL dudes.
Yes, and they still have some guys that can come up with big plays. And Kellen Moore is a bit of a wunderkind. He's someone that everyone's been like, man, this guy has got some great ideas on how to make offenses more effective. And I think it's interesting when you look at his path to becoming a head coach, all of the different things that he experienced as a coach. And now that he can add that together, I don't know if it bears fruit necessarily this week against the Bears. But the fact that he has a lot of different disciplines in his arsenal should be concerning.
The Saints on defense, as you're attacking, well, they ought to be attackable. 25th in points allowed, 18th in yards allowed, giving up the fourth most passing touchdowns in the NFL. Linebackers like DeMario Davis and Pete Werner are the leading tacklers on this one. The secondary corners have been really bad. Yep. Corners have been really, really bad.
There's an opportunity out there for Roma Dunze.
Yes, and Werner can be abused in coverage by good tight ends, I'm told. How do you like this description from my guy down there? The defensive line, they're bad at everything.
That's great for the Bears.
Chase Young is there, about to play his second game. Maybe brings a little more juice.
He's very talented, but it's never quite come together for him as well as people thought it would when he was at Ohio State.
Cameron Jordan, though, is a dude that I have a lot of respect for.
What is he in, year 13?
Something like that. He's only got 5 QB hits, 2.5 sacks on the season. So, look, the Bears ought to be able to get this done. And if they can, they'll be 4-2 just like last year. But maybe it'll be a very different 4-2.
Year 15.
Whoa! For Cameron Jordan. Wow.
My goodness gracious, that is a long time to be playing that position as well as he has played it. It's a good player. He's made a bunch of Pro Bowls. He has been an All-Pro. And he's one of the more entertaining players that you know immediately when he retires, he's going to be on somebody's desk.
You think Velus Jones Jr. gets into this game?
Who is that?
Velus Jones Jr.
I've never heard of that guy. Has he got a resume or anything?
He's on the New Orleans Saints.
And what does he do for them?
He's on the practice squad, so he'd really have to get elevated.
Yep.
He doesn't actually do anything for them except practice.
Oh, so it's like when he was a Bear.
But I'm healthier as a baby horse.
I mean, if he's healthy, I think a baby horse would be a hell of a weapon. Ever tell you guys about the animal football game? Ever tell you that joke?
He's not carrying the ball, though.
It's a good joke.
We
don't have time.
Because you don't.
I would love whatever his scouting report of his former team would be. Hey, they had a kick returner that would always fumble the ball. Oh, wait a minute. That was me.
He's in the game. It's a jet sweep.
Guys, they had this guy that they tried to convert to running back, and he was a receiver, but he was like 26 when he came out of college. And
yeah, Velez's analysis, yeah, that coaching staff, they don't know what the hell they're doing in terms of of checking out talent.
It's a different coaching staff.
They didn't know what they had.
They didn't know what they had, and they've moved on.
First offensive player drafted by Ryan Poles.
Never forget.
That's his first thought on what makes a good NFL player.
Never forget. Let's take a look at the North. Everyone is back to playing in the North this week. The Packers are at Arizona, and the things have not gone well for the Cardinals so far this season.
Although Jacoby Brissett is a dude. I love that guy, man. He had 300 yards last week. Had him on the doorstep of winning that game.
Things have not gone well for them. And the Packers are, you know, the Packers. This is Matt LaFleur on Josh Jacobs' big day against the Browns, where he went 150 total yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 stomach bug.
I didn't even realize it, to be honest with you. And then to come to find out afterwards, just it was his flu game. So, you know, to have 150 yards of offense and 2 touchdowns, and there were some really good runs in there in terms of just being able to make people miss and the physicality. And I thought our O-line did, in some moments, did a really nice job coming off the ball, creating some lanes for him. I still think we got to clean up some things with our outside zone, and that doesn't fall squarely on the O-line just across the board.
Yeah, this would seem like a game for the Packers to win, even though it's on the road, and go to 4-1-1. And feel pretty good about themselves. The Lions have a very tough game on their hands. Home for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night. Damn, that's fun. That's going to be a good one. The game against the Chiefs last week on Sunday night ends with Brian Branch going after Juju Smith-Schuster.
Bloodying his nose.
And now being suspended. And Dan Campbell was asked about it this week, refused to make excuses for his player, his leader on defense, Brian Branch.
Our guys know that. I mean, look, this is one instance of something that happened, and, you know, it doesn't matter what led to it. We all know. It's no different than you driving down the road and something happens on the highway, right? You can't take out your aggression on somebody else. Can't cross that line. Our players know that. Brian knows it. You know, he's fine. You know, he'll learn from this and be better. Listen, he's an outstanding young man. He really is. And he's got a big heart, and he made a mistake. And he'll learn from it.
Winner of that game gets to stake claim as being the best team in the NFC with the way that the Eagles have struggled.
So Brian Branch gets suspended. He appeals the suspension, as you should, if you're in any sort of union or players association. Do you know who his hearing officer was?
I just saw this.
Guys, you guys want to guess?
It resonated with me because he had to weigh in, but I was like,
wait, is it John Runyon?
No.
No, it's someone who used to be in the North.
Yeah, I forget. I remember I saw the name and I was like, no way.
Jordy Nelson.
That's it.
Was the hearing officer that upheld the suspension by the league.
Hey, man, could be worse. Could be Mark Chimura. You know what I mean? That guy doesn't have a moral leg to stand on. But Jordy Nelson is the police for the league.
Well, it's a joint thing with the NFLPA, but yes, he upheld the suspension. And, you know, you don't want to lose a player like that because that defense is still not quite where you'd want it to be. You don't want to lose a player as good as Brian Branch.
I mean, with everything that was going on, we didn't even have a chance to talk much about that Chiefs game. The Chiefs looked like themselves a little bit there. There are people thinking that the Chiefs are rejuvenated and are back after that one.
I was thinking about them when we were talking with Patrick earlier, and I think it's remarkable what they've done, considering that their schedule is jostled around like no one else's. Their Thursday night, their Friday night, their Monday night, their Sunday afternoon usually.
That's the Lions this year.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking about, is the Lions just played Sunday night. Now they're the Monday night. It's a marquee game. Just about every week, it can mess with you.
The run that they've been on is remarkable, considering that they have been
The league uses them as like a flagship team along with the Cowboys, and they are always going to be on as many primetime games as possible.
And there was Tay-Tay holding court in the suite. Like, I saw her greeting people.
Was that actually her? Or was it that lady that goes around acting like it's her? And it's not her, but she really loves that people think that she's her.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is.
Is Taylor Swift like sweet ambassador? Like, you know, if she was in our Cubs suite, would she have to sign off on the dessert and booze after at the end of the
Taylor,
night?
Taylor, my kid wants a cookie. Is that all right?
Taylor, my kid wants that rainbow cake. And also, so do I. You approve that?
So good. The rainbow cake.
Rainbow cake is excellent.
It's elite. I totally agree.
Yeah. It's top-notch stuff. All right. The Eagles are at the Vikings. This is a noon game, and man, are the Eagles weird. They're a very, very strange team going through a lot of strange, strange things.
They've lost two in a row. They lost to the Gents and the Headbutt Twins.
Yeah, and they're struggling with the wide receiver who's giving you Bible verses instead of reading books this year. He's got some Bible verses for you. Kevin O'Connell can't worry about that because he's got some uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Where do things stand as far as your starting QB for Sunday, Kevin?
They stand in the same place they did Monday when I answered that question.
How are you handling practice in terms of reps and between Carson and JJ?
Yeah, they're both going to get work, both going to get reps, and very much looking forward to our whole team getting back out there.
Is it more important for Carson Wentz to start against the Eagles or the Vikings?
For him to start against the Eagles or the Vikings?
I mean, is it more important for him personally?
I see what you're saying. We haven't really talked about that at all. I think there's, you know, been, I don't know if he's even played them since he left Philly, but he's played for a few teams since. But, you know, I think he's just excited about getting back on the practice field and having a chance to play this week. And, you know, he's working through his own kind of plan for the week as well as we lead into it.
So he's talking about Carson Wentz playing against the Eagles,
who was a full participant in yesterday's practice, and J.J. McCarthy was limited in practice. If I had to bet, I would bet that Carson Wentz starts this football game.
At 3-2, the Vikings need this one as a home game, but it's hard against the Eagles. I'm telling you, that NFC is wide open, and it could be kind of a move week. You get the Bears at 4-2 and the Vikings at 3-3 if they can't hold off the Eagles. Could look very different in those standings next week.
Yes, it could. So that is us turning the page and looking ahead to the North.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.